Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za, where you can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I love singing that song. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over everything, you know, every kind of thing. We just want to speak Jesus. Sometimes we want to, do a little too much, strive, do whatever. But, you know, the name of Jesus is enough. It's the name above every name. And at his name, every disease, every condition, every situation has to bow. Thank you for your mighty name, Jesus. You know, I've been, first I want to say that there's always a lie to try to get us to work for something that was freely given. Okay? How many of you have ever tried to work at being righteous? How did that work for you? or strive to be holy, or, you know, try to work for God's love. The enemy is always trying to get us to, you know, put out effort, strive, work to get what God's already freely given, and to try to strive for the kingdom. Jesus said, it's his Father's good pleasure. It's our Father's good pleasure. It's your Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And I've been traveling all over the world. Are you glad it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom? So I've been traveling all over the world. In the past year, I think I've been in Australia, Guatemala, Mexico, Austria, England, Germany, South Africa. I don't know, someplace else too, I think. But I'm seeing God do the same thing every place that I go. One thing I'm seeing is rooms full of hungry people coming together around his presence, just wanting to worship in his presence, wanting to be fed the word of God, hungry for more of God. I've seen that. But what I see him doing is, you know, when we respond to hunger and we're hungry for him, sometimes we think we're initiating this hunger and trying to be hungry to get God to do something. But you see, it's he who initiated the hunger. It's he who's been stirring in his church. And people are starting to respond. Now, I think he's always stirring up hunger and wooing us to himself. But there have been periods of time where the church has, it's resorted to effort, to programs, to trying to make things happen. You probably can't imagine such a thing, you know. But what I see God doing is he's just shifting the whole church focus, inviting, you know, a program-oriented church into a presence-focused church. And some places that creates a lot of shaking, in some places it's relief, and, you know, people are moving that way because God is doing it. It's not, oh, we finally got it and we're doing it. No, God's doing it. He's saying, you know, the programs, they're okay, but, you know, the world can do programs. I want to see the kingdom come, and I'm pulling you into miracles. And see, programs create workers who work for the gospel. And, you know, and workers need to be validated. And sometimes, you know, working in the church, we don't seem to get enough validation. And so, I don't know if you can imagine this, but sometimes comparison and competition come into our Christian walks. I mean, just imagine that if you can. And then control enters in. And then, you know what enters in then? Hi. Then all of a sudden we build a platform. And when our outward platform becomes bigger than our inner reality, crash and burn happens. And we see this happen all the time in ministry and in Christians who, I mean, even in devoted Christians who are pressing in to see God do miracles, and they pray for somebody and the person doesn't get healed and they crash and burn because their inner reality isn't based on him, who he is, and his truth. It's based on, I've got to get this thing that I'm working for. Does this make sense? Okay, so while he's pulling us out of this performance-based religion, we want to be sure to let go of all of those things and let him expose them in us and go, okay, whoa, I don't want to be like that. Because the kingdom is a free gift. And in the kingdom, we have a lover who's poured out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. And in the kingdom, we're loved. And lovers respond to love. And out of that overflow of love, they just do works of love. And lovers don't compete. They champion each other. They're excited every time somebody else gets a breakthrough. They celebrate every breakthrough. And lovers build each other up, fire each other up, and get fired up. And see, this is what we want to be. You know, he set us free. Didn't he set us free? Yep. It says, it says, the ones the Son sets free are free indeed. And he says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Yes. It says, if you abide in my word, you know, that word abide means, you know, to be present here right now and stay here. This is where I live, is in him and in his word. It's my home. And if you abide there, you're going to know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so we want to be in this place where we're filled with truth, not responding to circumstances, not letting our faith rise and fall by the results we see, but nurtured by truth, whether we see the results or not. And the interesting catch here is, the more we abide in truth, the more results we will see. But sometimes we just don't see that result yet. And yet, our responsibility is to monitor our inner world and make sure this is based on truth. On truth and on him and who he says we are. He says it was for freedom's sake that he set us free. And I was marveling about that. You know, he set us free just to be free. He didn't set you free so you'd be a good pastor, or, you know, so you'd be a good worship leader, or didn't set anybody free so you would be a good plumber or a good teacher. He didn't set us free to do anything. He set us free to be free, just for freedom's sake, which is marvelous. And so I asked him one time, I said, you know, why was it so important for you to set us free just to be free? You want to know what he said? He said, free people make the best lovers. Ooh. I mean, think about that. Have you ever tried to love somebody who couldn't receive love? Or been that person, perhaps? You know, and so he comes in and he sets us free because he wants to pour his love into us and have us able to receive an overflow into a lost and dying world around us. And, you know, as Pastor said, that, you know, it's got to start here. Revival starts right here in me. Yes, I want to see worldwide revival, so I've decided to be revival. And the more you realize that you are revival, then you start playing games. I mean, good games, not messing around. But I mean, my wife and I used to go into pagan festivals where there were, you know, lots. I mean, we'd go to places where there are 30,000, you know, pagan shamans, witches, warlocks, New Age people, all of those people. And we didn't go trying to witness. We went to be the presence of God and see what would happen. And we saw miracles break out every time. We did this for 20 years, and we started with just a little group of 7 people, and then, you know, over the course of 20 years, we ended up with a whole camp of 150 people who would go and live in the midst of these people for 2 weeks, you know, in these camps, and just be the presence of God, be the body of Christ. We'd make a camp, and we'd, you know, we'd feed people, love people, have worship, you know, have all kinds of things. And we walk off this space and say, this is holy ground. And people would come in and they go, whoa, what is this place? The voices have stopped in my head. You know, they go, whoa, I feel safe here. Who are you people? You know, we saw many people you know, encounter Jesus, be born again. We saw so many healings, deliverances, so much happened just because we chose to steward something we knew was true and then go and radiate it. And the thing that we know is true, there's a couple of things we know are true. There are a few things I know are true. I mean, one is that I'm loved. You know, that he's poured out his love in my heart, and I am loved. And that, it really makes me happy. And I've been accused of being too happy before. As a matter of fact, we used to minister to really unhappy Christians. And this really grumpy Christian woman came up to me and she said, "I think you're a phony." I went, "Really? Why is that?" She goes, "Nobody's that happy all the time." She said, "I think you're faking it." In my mind, I thought, real crabbiness or fake joy? Which would I prefer? I didn't say that to her, I promise. I didn't say it. I did think it. And her friend who was with her said, why are you so happy all the time? I mean, they're really angry. And so I went to Jesus. You know, he's right here. Holy Spirit's inside of me. I'm inside of Christ by some miracle of his doing. I just sank down into him. I said, "Why am I so happy all the time?" And I got hit with wave after wave of his love for me. I mean, I'm going down under. I am sinking in his love for me. I'm just like wrecked in his love for me. And then after a while, I realized, I'm supposed to answer a question. So I crawl back out and I go, "Because he loves me." And the guy goes, "You act like you believe it." And so I have to confess before you, that's my problem. I really believe it. I stand under the waterfall of his love continually because it's what he says is true. Now, people don't always love me and circumstances don't always love me, but he does. And see, this is, apart from knowing that you're loved, this is the single greatest key to breakthrough in every area of life is this one, just to recognize he's already here. We're not begging him to come. You know, how many of you have ever felt, as a Christian, felt distant or separated from God? Anybody? Anybody ever felt that? It's a lie. It's impossible. He moved inside. He says, "I put my Holy Spirit inside you." Says the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in me and gives life to my physical body. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in me. You know, he moved inside. And we can let circumstances define our identity, well-being, emotions, anything, or we can let truth define who we are. And in the face of impossibilities, how many have ever had an impossibility in your life? Yes, of course. How many have a few right now? Anybody? Would anyone like some of mine? If you don't have any, I'll share. But, you know, we're believers. We're new creations bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. So many things are impossible. We're always going to have impossibilities in front of us. And we've got to, you know, step outside of that performance lie of, if I get it all together, it's all going to be nice forever. Hey, it's always going to be good in here when I steward the atmosphere of heaven inside. But I'm going into a raging storm all around me. And who knows what's happening out there in our governments or, you know, businesses or schools or whatever, but I'm carrying the presence of God. Thanks be to God, he always leads me in triumph in Christ Jesus, and he manifests through me the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere I go. And so the biggest key in facing impossibilities is just to recognize he's here. Now, I love it when we feel his presence. Or see his presence, or smell his presence. Have you ever smelled the presence of heaven? and you know, the aromas of heaven. Yet all of a sudden, I mean, I remember we were climbing a mountain in October, which is a little past the season for it. And I mean, nothing was alive and growing. Everything was frozen and dead and just tundra with no flowers. And we're worshiping God up on this mountain, my friends and I. And all of a sudden, the aroma of roses hit us. And we were immersed, all three of us were just immersed in this garden of roses smelling. And we just felt the presence of God. I mean, sometimes phenomena and manifestations happen and they're wonderful, but they don't always happen. But he's still here. And see, the key to breakthrough is to recognize his presence when there's no sensory perception of it. You know, I mean, in airports a lot, and it's busy, and, you know, people are, all kinds of stuff's happening, and it's chaotic. You know, I'm driving my car, I'm in, you know, many situations. And I just turn my attention to him and go, oh, but you're here. Sometimes we're faced with a financial impossibility, you know, joblessness. I mean, imagine this. I mean, just think if you can, try to imagine it. Like, there's a worldwide pandemic and everything's shut down. You're laughing. Hallelujah. Hey, the thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's a lot of steal, kill, and destroy happening out there. And we can major on that and talk about how bad that is and get overwhelmed by it. Or we can go, oh, wait. If there's steal, kill, destroy happening, that means, Jesus, you're here bringing life and life more abundantly. And I'm going to turn my attention to you right here, and I want to be part of your life and life more abundantly program. And in the midst of whatever it is, financial, economic upheavals, marital dysfunction, joblessness, you know, anything, I'm going to turn my attention to you and be part of life and life more abundantly. Because the enemy wants to overwhelm us with how big the problem is. I mean, the whole world's shutting down. That's crazy. But we saw so many miracles during that time. And we brought peace to so many people filled with anxiety and fear. You know, because we decided to be part of his program. And his program triumphs over the other one. You know, it's not... Too often we think of, you know, kingdom of darkness, kingdom of light. This the dark one's not even a kingdom. They're not equal. The devil and Jesus are not equal. And it says in Colossians 1:13, he delivered us from the power of darkness and he transported us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. How much work did we do in that sentence? It's all a gift. Just say it's all a gift. His presence in me is a gift. His life, his love, it's all a gift. None of it is what we work for. But recognition is honor. And if we really want to worship him in spirit and in truth, we want to sensitize ourselves to recognize what he is doing and where he is. And sometimes it's invisible, like lots of times it's invisible. That's why Paul says we don't look at the things that are seen. You know, the steal, kill, and destroy stuff is what we see. No, we look at the things we can't see. That doesn't even make sense. But it's what we do. Because the things that are seen are passing away, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so this is what we do in the face of any impossibility. And we're going, you know, we're going to do some miracles pretty soon. But sickness, disease, you know, and those testimonies that those guys shared, the people who were suffering from those situations, it was overwhelming in their life. It took over their life. And sometimes people need us to come alongside and be part of the Life and Life More Abundantly program on their behalf because they're suffering. We never blame people who are sick. I mean, have you ever been healed of something that was your own fault? Hallelujah, yes. I mean, I don't know, myself and my son's a lot like me. I always say he's like his mother, but he's an extreme sports crazy guy, and he would get hurt all the time. But he knew what to do. He'd call me up and he'd go, Dad, you know, I launched off this rock and did two backflips on my snowboard and I wrenched my knee. And it... I'll say, I bet you did. He goes, no, I need healing. I go, okay. And he'd have us pray for him and God would heal him. I mean, he knew what to do. But it was always, you know, because he made these choices, God does, he's not going, your own fault, buddy. Suffer. Aren't you glad that's not our God? Yeah. He suffered on our behalf for all the stupidity that we've done in this whole world. He suffered and died for that so that he could freely give us grace, peace, love, healing, all the things we don't deserve. Grace is that we get everything Jesus deserves. And that's amazing. And so, you know, in the face of impossibilities, in the face of sickness, in the face of disease or anything, this is the first prayer we pray. And I just want to invite everybody to just join me in this prayer. Just put your hand on your heart, close your eyes for a moment, and just say this. Oh, but you're here. Yeah, see, this is the game changer. I'm turning my attention away from the problem and away from me having to figure out how to do it. But I'm turning my attention to you who know how to do it. Thank you that you're here. In the face of economic disaster, political disaster, financial, marital, health disasters, we can turn to you, and we don't have to know the answer. We just choose to say, oh, but you're here. We want to do what you're doing. We want to say what you're saying. We want to partner with life and life more abundantly. Okay, so that's healing 101. That's miracles 101. You just have the lesson. It's all you need to know. And, you know, I oversee the healing rooms at Bethel Church. We have 866 volunteers on our team. And they're all people who just want to go after healing and see people get healed. But the one thing one of the many things we agree on is that we don't have to know what we're doing. And we don't know what we're doing. None of us knows how to heal the sick. And so I've had pastors who said to me, you know, I'm afraid of healing for my church because I don't know how to do it. And I tell them, my teams love healing because we don't know how to do it. There is so much freedom in saying, God, I can't do this. Hey, oh, but you're here. Because he's the healer, and he's already here. We don't have to plead, beg, cry out for him to come. He's already here. Just say, he's already here. You know, he's here in us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. But another amazing thing, this is so remarkable, Jesus is here right now because he says he is. He says when we gather together in his name, he's right here in the midst of us. And so the thing that we ask all our teams to do is, hey, let's all of a sudden recognize his presence and act like he's right in the room. And it means all my attitudes just have to come up to the fact that I'm in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I can't judge you by, you know, the way you look, the way you act, your past, anything. I can't judge anybody. I'm in the presence of the King of Kings who bore all the judgment I deserve on his body on the cross. And he took all the judgment I think you deserve. And so when we recognize, oh, wait, we're gathered in the presence of Jesus. I mean, I love the goodness of God, but I like the terror of God, too. I like the holy fear of God. It's like, it gives me a dose of reality. Wait a minute. Quit thinking so highly of yourself. And all of a sudden, I realize who I am in his presence. And I'm free. And I'm loved. and I don't have to pretend. And so there's this wonderful freedom in not knowing what we're doing, but in recognizing, Jesus, you're here in the room. And in beginning to speak to him, act like, recognize, even when we don't feel him, we're recognizing it based on his word. He says he's here. So I'm going to honor you based on your word, that you're here in the room and that you're here in us. And all it takes is that recognition, that turning and recognizing, and all of a sudden letting everything in you align to truth and that he's here. Yeah, you might have lots of questions. Your intellect might be racing, trying to figure out, why isn't this happening? Why did this happen? Remember that verse in Romans chapter 8, it says, let's see, what's it say? It says, those who are led by the intellect will be called the children of God. What? No? Those who are led by the Spirit. Hey, the intellect is a great tool, but it is a terrible leader. And we've got to stop trying to lead the church with our intellects. And so when we're praying for healing, sometimes he tells us to do, like he had Levi just unlock the guy's chest. Well, there wasn't really a keyhole in there that you could see. He didn't have a real key in his hand. It bypasses our intellect and causes us to step into a greater reality where the man's chest was unlocked and breath came in. See, we don't have to know how it happens, and we don't have to appease our intellect that it happens in a way that we would understand. Many of the healings I've seen are accidental. I'm just thinking about him. And I walked by a man, and I just put my hand on his shoulder and I walked away, and I heard this thud, and I rolled around. I might have been on the floor. Rolled around, and he was rolling on the floor laughing. I thought, that's okay. Well, he did that for 10, 15 minutes. So I finally wanted to know, what's up with this guy? It was in the healing rooms. I picked up his piece of paper to see why he'd come in. Depression. Wiped out with an ambush of joy. You know, I've had so many people say that when they fell out laughing, 5 years of clinical depression left. Many of them, I mean, more people than that have gone back to their doctors, and their doctors will say, no, you're processing, you're thinking differently, something different is happening in your brain. We didn't even pray for them. Just something got on them. Because we are stewarding the presence of God. And this is who we are in the world. We're the hosts of the presence of God. And it might sound presumptuous. He hasn't done this lately, but he used to take me to countries where I didn't know anybody and didn't have any money. And I would get excited because I just get on the soil of the ground and I go, okay, I'm just going to be your presence right here. Be an open heaven in this land and see what happens. And miracles would break out. People would take me home with them. They'd feed me. They'd take me places. I'd see, you know, healing, miracles, all kinds of stuff would happen. But I'll have to confess, I didn't have a plan coming here tonight. I had no plan whatsoever except to talk about him. And to turn all our attention towards him right here. And so he's here and his name is Healer. And so I think, you know, I'd like to activate everybody in some healing, because what I want to leave, I'm just going to be here tonight, but I want to leave a deposit of an increased level of breakthrough in this church to see more and more and more healing than you've ever seen. Not that I carry it, but he does. And we're part of a healing rooms that sees thousands and thousands and thousands of miracles every year, every month, every week. We see miracles. And so, you know, we just want to leave a little heritage with you, because that's not our inheritance. That's the inheritance of the body of Christ. And so we just want to share every breakthrough we've seen, we give to this body freely. and say, that's your heritage and you can have it. You know, we've seen Parkinson's healed, cancer healed, diabetes healed, dead people raised, all of these things. We just declare. We've seen bipolar healed, chemical imbalance healed. We've seen PTSD, 40 years of PTSD healed several times. Yeah, all of these things, and we just declare, you know, the name of Jesus is what does it. And so, yeah, we just come with an offering, and now we just want to activate people in the time that's left so that people get healed. How about that? So, if you have pain anywhere in your body, and you'd like to get rid of it, would you stand up, please? Anybody who has any pain in your body that you want to get rid of, from anything, from disease or injury, it doesn't matter.
Oops. Thank you, sir.
Okay. So, the rest of us who are sitting down, we're the ministry team. Okay, and here's the good news. Repeat after me. I don't have to know what I'm doing. And now repeat this. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay. Now, this. I'm just going to do it like I do in school. I'm just going to do an exercise where I'm going to coach you through a time of praying for each other for healing. And the reason I'm going to coach you through is because I want you to keep it really simple and really focused on Him. And it's really easy for us to strive and pray hard and beg and plead and try to make something happen. And we're not going to do any of that. And so I just need everybody who is standing to have a partner to stand with them. And so If you who are standing, if you would raise your hands, please, so that we can find you. And then everybody who's sitting, if you would move out of your seat, don't go for your husband or wife or somebody. Go find somebody you don't really know and just become their partner. And so if you're receiving ministry, keep your hand up in the air until somebody becomes your partner and then put it down. Okay? As soon as you get a partner, you can put your hand down. Going to get up here where I can see everybody better. Okay, if you don't have a partner yet, wave your hand a little bit. So, okay, there's some people over here, a few in the back, a few over here. So people who are sitting down, you know, just please get up. Remember, you don't have to know what you're doing. That person just needs somebody with them. They need a friend. And you can just be there as a compassionate friend who doesn't know what they're doing. That's just fine. Okay? So We still have, okay, wave your hand again if you do not have anybody, okay? This gentleman, okay, and somebody back in the glassed-in booth, locked up. They won't let him out until he's good. okay, everybody. Wave your hand again if you don't have a partner. We just want to see everybody have a partner. And if you aren't on a team, you can just join any of these teams. Okay, so I'm just going to guide you through this in a real simple way, but if you were out on the street praying for somebody, you know, this would go a lot more smoothly, but I'm going to interrupt you many times. Okay, is that okay? Okay. So, 'cause we don't know what we're doing. Okay, so the first thing I want you to do is, there are two things. And one of them, if you don't know the person that you're standing with, you're going to exchange names, don't do that yet, and introduce yourself to each other. The second thing is, the person who has pain in their body, you get one sentence to tell us about that pain. Now, this is a short sentence. This is like a five-word sentence. Okay, because the natural person wants to pour out their heart about all their pain, and thinks that if we hear all about all their pain, that it'll be better for them. But it doesn't help us at all, because we're not healing them anyway, and God already knows all the pain. We're looking for a target. That's all I want to know. You know, is it in your shoulder, head, knee, belly? You know, we just want a target. So I'm going to give you about 30 seconds to introduce yourself with your name and for the person to give one sentence about where the pain is. Okay, go. About 30 seconds. Okay, shh, time's up. Okay, can I have your attention back? Shh. Yes, thank you. Okay, so now you know who this person is and you know where their pain is, okay? So now this is one of the tricks that you have to do is you have to remember their name that you just heard. So what I want you to do one more thing. I want you to shake their hand and look them right in the eyeball and call them by name. You know, the eye's the lamp of the soul. We're connecting. Just go ahead and do that. Okay. Okay, thank you. Shh. Yeah. And some of you might have done that already, but I want to remind us, because many times, you know, maybe if we're, you know, out in a shopping center or something like that, and we see somebody and they're, you know, in a wheelchair or limping, and you go, wow, can I pray for you? And you just kind of want to do the prayer thing. But really, this is a person, and they have a name, and they're not a project, and we want to go slow, and we want to recognize the person. We want to recognize you're somebody Jesus loves, and I want to look you in the eye. I want to tell you my name, and I want to know your name, because we're not rushing into trying to change everybody's life. We're connecting with people. One of my favorite definitions of love is the ability to connect. You know, and how many of you are married? Anybody married? Okay. How many of you... probably all the wives will raise their hands. Your husbands might not. But how many of you know when you're connected and when you're not connected? All these women hands go up. The men clueless. What? Anyway. You know, the fact that you're in a covenant relationship doesn't mean you're both experiencing each other's love. There's a connection that needs to happen. And it's just listening. It's eye to eye. It's, you know, caring, it's hearing, it's whatever it is. But we're connecting with our friend. Okay, that's the first part of healing. The second part of healing is connecting with God. And so let's all close our eyes and turn our attention to Him. You can put your hand on your heart. Just repeat after me, oh, but you're here. Yeah. Yeah, my friend has all this pain, but you're here. You know, this has been overwhelming and discouraging and frustrating for my friend, but you're here now. Jesus, you're here in the room walking amongst us, and I thank you for your presence, and I honor your presence here in the room because you say you're here. Holy Spirit, you're here because you say you're here. You're right inside me, and you're upon me. You're in me and wrapping yourselves around me and pouring out on me. And Father God, you're here because you're one with the Father, with the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I thank you, Almighty God, you're here. Not a distant God, not separate, you're right here. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. We recognize your presence. Thank you. And now the next thing we're going to do, just stay in this place. But because we don't know what we're doing, we're going to ask God, what are you doing? What are you saying?
See, that's what Jesus said. I only do what I see the Father do. I say what I hear him say. We don't know how to heal the sick, so we're asking, how do you want me to use me, God? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to partner with you to see my friend heal? And so just in whatever words you can ask, just ask him, you know, show me what you're saying and what you're doing. And let's just wait on him for about 30 seconds. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you that your sheep hear your voice. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. If you felt like you got any impression, a picture, a word, or anything from God about how to minister, would you raise your hand, please? Okay. So some people all over the room got an impression. Okay, then that's the way you want to go ahead and minister. Those who didn't get anything, it's perfectly fine. What I want you to do is just two things. You're going to tell the bad stuff to go, and you're going to pour the good stuff in. And you're going to do it any way that you feel. And while you're doing it, he's going to begin to move and inspire you and show you things. But telling the bad stuff to go, we're going to command that pain to leave, but we're going to do it with authority because we're seated with him in heavenly places. We're not going to beg and plead and be nice to pain. We're not going to ask Jesus to do it. We're going to command that pain to get out because it's an invasive species. It's not welcome. Okay, and then after we do that for a little while, we're just going to pour whatever of the kingdom we know is in us. It could be peace, life, healing, hope, you know, whatever, love. We're going to pour the good stuff in. It's displacement. It's going to fill them up and flush out all of the bad stuff. Okay? So I'm going to give you about 60 seconds to do that. So go ahead. Yep, all pain leaves everybody. All pain leaves the building. Yep, all pain is dialed down to zero. Yep, all pain leaves. We just pour the peace of God into every bone, every muscle, every organ. Yep, into the brain, the head, the heart. We just pour the peace of God, the love of God. Yep. The resurrection life of God flowing in to each person. Yeah? Yeah? Healing flowing in. Where there was pain, healing flowing in right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Sure. Thank you. Do you need that guy by you to help in case he falls? Sir with the red t-shirt right there, could you help this lady might go down? Okay. Can I have your attention, please? Shh. All right. So the next step is the person who we've been ministering to. I want you to just take an inventory of your body, and you're just looking for anything that's changing. And it could be there's heat, you could feel a little drunk, there could be pain diminishing, you could be more flexible, just something's happening. It could be tingling, it could be cold, just any evidence that he's coming upon your body. And just move around and take about 30 seconds just to check your body out. See, you're looking for anything that's evidence of his presence moving in your body. And it can come in any way, especially ways you don't even think of. Just check it out. Try things out.
Okay, can I have your attention back? Okay, if you're experiencing any changes, anything different, anything that's new or improvement, would you wave your hands in the air? We just want to see what God's doing. Okay, look around. Look around. That's amazing. Okay, let's celebrate. Woo! Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Next time. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, here. Hudson. Yay, that's awesome. Okay, I just want to tell you that, you know, this part is recognizing what he is doing. Remember, the key to breakthrough is recognizing things about God, because that's honor. So we want to recognize his presence. We want to recognize when he's doing something. So many times God's trying to do something and nobody recognizes him, and so we don't get on board and we don't partner. But because this is called breakthrough in the room, when pain starts going down and things start changing in people's bodies. And we all want to recognize that, because if somebody else gets free from their pain and I don't yet, I have choices. I can say, why didn't he do it for me? Or I can go, wow, I am going to celebrate that brother's breakthrough, because when I celebrate his breakthrough becomes my breakthrough. It's breakthrough in the room for all of us. So let's just celebrate every bit of breakthrough in the room right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Okay, now who needs more? I think there's some people who still need more, unless everything got done. Anybody need more healing? Okay, so we have some people who need more. Okay, I want to ask you a question. Okay, okay, how many of you have had this pain for 5 years or more? Raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. How many for 10 years or more? Oh, my goodness, that's not okay. Anybody for 20 years? Whoa. Okay, so what we're going to do, the people who are ministering, we're going to help just lift off that frustration, that discouragement, that, you know, all the stuff that goes with it, because there are emotional things that go with being in pain all the time. And so first of all, I'd like you, all of you, just to turn and just lift things off of your friend. Just lift off the tension, the stress, the frustrations, the, you know, all of that stuff. Just pick them up right off of them. Take them off. Kick them away. Okay. And now the person who is being ministered to for pain, I'd like you to do something now. And all of the frustration and stuff that goes with the pain, it's like a big, heavy winter overcoat you've got on. But it's summertime, and so I'd like you just to do a prophetic act of take that overcoat off and throw it to the ground. That isn't your identity. It's not what God has for you. Yeah, we're just going to take that off. Because many times, you know, the frustration of it can feel like our identity. And sometimes we have a hard time receiving because we're so overloaded with the frustrations and the hopelessness. And so we've just cast all that aside, and we're completely open and free now. So we're going to have to take another dose of this fun stuff. Okay, so let's turn our attention back to him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. You're in the room. You just lifted off so much frustration and hopelessness. There's so much more freedom in the house and freedom in people's bodies. So right now, just show us how you want us to minister healing power into this body and see all disease and pain leave. Just wait on him. Thank you, God. Show us what you're doing. Thank you. Okay, now it's time to minister. If you got something, just do that. If not, just command. Just have authority. Just get a little bit mad at that stuff and command that stuff to leave, and then pour the good stuff, the healing balm, in. So go ahead. Take about 60 seconds and do this now.
Thank you, Jesus. Yep, thank you. The pain, it's time for all pain to leave. It's time for healing to flow in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yep. All pain leaves. Healing virtue pouring in. Yeah, just pour buckets of healing over them. Yep, just turn the hose on them. Yep. Yep. Overwhelmed with healing grace and healing virtue. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, can I have your attention, please? Okay, now it's time for the person again to test out, to check it out, to move around and look for any place that something new is happening, any way that things are becoming new. Okay, just check it out, move around. Feel what's changing. We're always looking for change. Okay, so if you're experiencing anything new, would you wave your hands in the air again? Okay, look around. More is happening. Woo! Jesus. Okay, so I would like to find out what's happening. So if you would all go back to your seats, we'll just take a minute and find out what's happening. How you doing? What you got here? Is that a rabbit? A seal? Let me see. Oh, it is. I thought it was upside down and those were his ears and it was a rabbit, but I see it's his tail. It's a seal. Ha. Okay. Shh. Can I? I've been sealed. The Holy Spirit of promise. He sealed me. Can I see your seal for a second? I've just been sealed by the Holy Spirit. okay, so if you experienced any measure of improvement or change or healing or diminishing of symptoms or anything in any of those times we just had, would you stand up and wave your hands, because we just want to give God glory. And stay up and keep waving. Yep, stay up and keep waving. We just want to praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's so good. That's so encouraging. You know, okay, you can sit down for a second, but was anybody striving and having a miserable time doing that? We want to pray for you. Okay, so I would love to hear like two or three testimonies. If anybody, if you feel like you're, 50, 80% or more better, would you stand up, please? If you feel like there's a huge improvement. Oh, okay, can you come up here and just tell us what's happening? Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Sandra.
And what did Jesus do for you?
So I had a pain in my left knee and hip that was becoming worse and worse the past week. And I've never had a pain like that before, and it was becoming really bad. And so the ladies prayed for me, and at first only the left knee was healed. Mm-hmm. Then when you said pray more, then it was like the right knee and then the right hip. And as we praised now, then now all the pain is gone.
All the pain is gone. Woo! Oh, praise God. All the pain is gone. Yes. Okay, that's breakthrough. And everybody can just latch on to that and have some of that. So do you have a testimony? All right. Hi, what's your name?
Addison.
Addison, what did Jesus do?
I broke my lower back 8 weeks ago, part of my lower back. And
8 weeks ago?
Yeah. Oh. I just struggled with a lot of pain still and ligaments and problems, and it's almost gone. So it's, just feeling incredible.
That's awesome. Wait, just stay right here. So I really like almost gone too, but I really like all gone better. So just extend your hands towards Addison and say, pain leave.
and then say 100%. Oh, bless you, Addison. Oh, Jesus. Is there somebody else, one more, that we could hear from? Oh, everybody's over on this side. Hey, what happened over here? Oh, you were over there. Okay. Hi, what's your name?
Okay, my name's Anita, and I have been battling since before my husband passed away many years ago to do squats and to do this.
You couldn't okay. Do that. Can just you got, do squats?
And then I haven't been able to do...
And is there any pain when you do that?
No. No, it's gone. The pain is gone.
The pain is gone. Yay! Oh, praise God. Woo. That's so good. That's remarkable. Okay, this is so much fun. It's getting a little bit late, but I want to do one more thing, if we can do one more thing, okay? So this is Breakthrough in the Room. We're seeing healing. Lots of people have a measure of healing. Some people complete healing. But what... Yeah, somebody's getting happy. Do you know happy bodies heal quicker? It's scriptural. Whacker. Give her more. More for Addison. But I don't want to leave without praying for people who have any kind of chronic condition. So this is Breakthrough in the Room, and we want to take that breakthrough and pour it out over people who have, like, name diseases, cancer, or, you know, Parkinson's, or MS, or, you know, anything that has, you know, any condition. That lady with osteoporosis, she'd had that for, what, 20 years, I think it was, and it felt like her bones were crumbling. If she injured herself, her bones were on fire, she was in agony every day. That's just wrong. And, I mean, arthritis, too. You know, so anything that is, it's not going to go away, according to medical professionals, without a miracle. But we're going for a miracle. So would you please stand up if you have any chronic condition that, you just can't make stop by yourself, and you would like to see it go. Okay? Great. Yay. Okay? And... But they're still popping up. Okay, so what we want to do is we just want to gather around these people. And so if you folks would raise your hand just so that we can see you. And the people all around them, just go to these people. Everybody needs to have a few people around them. Because I'll lead you in... kind of in ministry to them as well. But when you go to them, just introduce yourselves so that you each know each other's name. And let's see, if you don't have anybody around you yet, wave your hands so that we can find you. Now it looks like people are gathering around. Okay? Up, there's somebody back there with his hand up. Just get him. This gentleman needs some friends. Okay, because everybody can have two or three people around them. That's just fine. Okay? So you're introducing yourself. You know each other's name. Can I have your attention for just one moment, please? I know you're still connecting. I want you to just speak your condition to your friends, but don't tell them your history. Just if it's a named condition, just say the name, because that's all we need to know. Okay? So go ahead and just for 15 seconds, just tell them the name of the condition that you have. The condition that you're giving, that you're surrendering right now and giving up. Okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Can I have your attention? Okay, so we've heard the name of this condition that's painful, that's troubling, that, you know, it hasn't gone away yet. But there is a name that's above every name. And so at that name, every disease has to bow. Every condition has to bow. Every other name has to bow. And so right now, when I count to three, we're going to shout out his name above all the other names, okay? One, two, three. Jesus! Yep. And I love that song that, you know, shout the name of Jesus over every condition, every circumstance. And so right now, I want you to go ahead and command that condition to leave their body. Command, you know, it all to leave. And you might just do prophetic acts. Lift it off of their body. Lift off the weight and the discouragement and the hopelessness. Lift off the longevity. You know, lift off the, you know, the all of the doctor's diagnoses, all those reports that say, you know, there's no cure for this. Let's lift. You can sometimes you just have to pull some arrows out of their hearts, out of their backs. You know, it seems like those doctor's reports sometimes are an arrow in our soul. You might just have to pull those arrows out, but just do some prophetic acts to eliminate the problem and then pour in God's love. Okay, their body needs a whole lot of love right now because. Because that sickness is a violation of God's love for this person. And so just pour love in. Just pour buckets of love. Pour drinks of love. Just hug them with love. Speak love over them. Speak love into their bodies. He heals us because he loves us. And it's his love that heals. You know, just pour it into our friends. You know, wash them clean in his love. Sickness and disease flee everybody. And just let healing come in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, just pour a little bit more love in. Yeah. Just pour it in. These people have had this condition. They need their love tank full. Yes. Completely full. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Okay. I want to ask a question. Can I have your attention, please? Shh. Okay. Those of you who are receiving ministry, if you feel like something lifted, you know, just something shifted or lifted, would you just wave your hands? I mean, I know you can't always tell, but okay, look around. People are feeling something happening. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. And so just for one last thing, I think we'll do one more. Can we do one more prophetic act? Okay. See, prophetic acts, they don't make any sense, but in heaven they do because we're prophesying what's true in heaven. So all of you who are ministering to the person, I want you to raise your right hand. Everybody who's ministering, okay? Now put your left hand around your right wrist. This hand is loaded. Now I want you to put that loaded hand on your friend. Hey, it says the lightnings of God are in his hand and power goes out from them. Yep, we just engaged that loaded hand and just put that loaded hand on your friend. Yep, healing flows into this body. Yep, sickness dies. Healing. Is resurrection life comes. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. How are we doing? Are we doing okay? All right. Can we just give Jesus a shout of applause and victory? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. So you can take your seats for a minute, and I'll share one point before we wrap up. One useful piece of information. Praise you, God. Thank you, God, for what you're doing right now in this body. So I just want to share that, you know, we talked about recognizing what he is doing, and it's really important to recognize the things God's doing. It, you know, the pain going down could be you had maybe pain of 10 out of 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, and all of a sudden it goes down to a 9.3. We want to start recognizing and getting excited over pain going down, okay? Because what we celebrate, we see increase. Now, it's really easy to look at all the pain that's still there, but we want to celebrate the thing God is doing, okay? Now, our celebration doesn't manipulate God to do more. He already planned it all. He already planned, he paid for all of it. But what it does is it connects us, causes us to recognize, and remember, recognition is honor. We begin to honor, oh God, you're causing my pain to begin to go down. And we celebrate. And this is, you know, this is part of our life in Christ for the rest of our lives. The other part is hunger for more. Because we know he promised more. God, I've read your promises, and it's way more than I just saw. And so I cry out for the more. And when we call out for the more based on his word, then all of a sudden we see some more happening. And we celebrate the more, and we get all excited. But then we see, wait, but you promised even more. And so we call out, we're hungry for more. And see, this is the tension of our life for the rest of our lives. Is recognizing what he's doing and celebrating it and looking at the promises of what he promises and go, I've got to have that. Okay? And so if we just recognize what he is doing, we can become complacent. Just, oh, thank you, God. You just do it all. You're so good. If we just cry out for more all the time, we can become frustrated. And so we're pulling in this tension all the time of recognizing what he is doing and celebrating and recognizing that we don't see it all yet, but we want to. And he's promised it. So I cry out for more. And it's not one of those things I just cry out until I get it. Because once you get it and celebrate it, you realize there's more. Because he takes us from glory to glory to glory. And so this is our life. It's, you know, I think in the world we're led to believe that, you know, we arrive at some place. The only place we arrive is in him. The rest of it is all just taking that into all kinds of situations, and it never just gets good. You want to know why it doesn't always just get good? It's because what we carry in him is needed in that place, because that place is a mess. And so he takes us to places where things are bad and terrible because we carry the answer. But if we come under the circumstance and let that influence us, then we participate in that and we say, oh, everything sucks. It's just a bummer. We don't come under circumstances. It says one of the blessings in Deuteronomy is we're above only and not beneath. We are not under circumstances. We're. Has anybody ever surfed? I know there's no surf up here in Pretoria, but I was just down in Georgia, and there's some big waves down there. And I've ridden on top of waves, and I've been churned around under waves. Raked across the bottom. It's an excellent picture of when we come under circumstances, it just churns us and drags us along the bottom, and it's terrible. But when we realize that I am in him, this is where I live and move and have my being, then
I'm never under circumstances. I'm above only. I'm seated with him in the heavenly places. As he is in heaven, so am I on the earth. And I walk in absolute peace and joy. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I don't have to give up my joy for anybody else's joyless situations. And I remember in 1994, we were in Rwanda when that horrible genocide happened and terrible things were happening to people's lives and heartbreaking things. And yet, one of my friends was, you know, he lost 83 members of his family, his tribe. They were Tutsis and the Hutus slaughtered them with machetes. And yet, he learned the joy of the Lord. And at one point when things were so tense, and I was with him in that tense time, and he was really tense, and his wife and he started getting tense, he all of a sudden stopped and he said, "Wait, I will not give up my joy. Jesus gave it to me a very long time ago, and I will not give it away." And all of a sudden, boom, the whole space just changed. Everything changed. Circumstances didn't change out there, but our bubble was full of the life of heaven, and then we were able to bring it into circumstances. So your destination is in him, and you get to take in him into every place you go. So your homework for the rest of your lives, but this week particularly, is to go into a situation and then just change the atmosphere just by recognizing his presence. You know, I love to do that. You know, you can try to preach at people and try to get them, you know, to get it together or whatever, but don't do it for this exercise. Just go in and recognize his presence and let that love, that joy, that peace emanate out of you, and then just see what he does. I mean, sometimes people just come up to you and ask you for prayer or ask you, "What do you have that I don't have?" Sometimes all of a sudden just things become peaceful all around you. I mean, I play this game all the time. I love to see things God does. So anyway, thank you so much for having us. This has been a blessing. You're a joy to be with.
Yeah, can we just stand and honor Chuck and his team? Thank you so much for being here. For we just like to honor obedience and appreciate what you carry and appreciate the way that the easy way that you've taught us to heal. So, how many of you are going to go out and heal this week? Someone in the room? Come on. Yeah, we're done for tonight, but we want to invite you to grab some coffee, hang around. If you need, I don't know if there's an invitation for anyone, if they need prayer to still come up, or are we? All right, there's four interns up front here, and they're ready to minister as well. So if you just need something more, please come up. But other than that, we want to just release you to go home, and remember to just take that presence of God with you. Remember to take that bubble that Chuck just left with us. So we bless you. May you have an incredible week as you go home tonight. Drive safely and take this with you to your churches wherever you come from. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Remember to visit our website at www.revivalministry.co.za. You can sign up to receive more of these powerful messages.